we learned in the previous episodes, it wasn't a simple mission. Apollo was one of the most complicated missions that humans have ever taken up. Well, we remember the first astronauts who landed on the moon, and we remember the astronauts who successfully completed their trips and came back to the Earth. But we hardly remember the people who went before them, who sacrificed a lot to make the first manned mission to the moon possible, including those astronauts who never got to fly, who perished in a fire that took down their command module. Yes, the astronauts of Apollo 1. 50 years later, let's spare a moment to remember them.
So last episode, we discussed about the spacecraft used for the Apollo mission, the Apollo spacecraft, the lunar module, the Saturn V rockets and all that. So what about this episode? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, so the reason we discussed in detail about the launch vehicle and the spacecraft was, though we know, you know, astronauts have been to moon, most of us don't know how or what took them there. Similarly, one of the lesser known things about lunar missions are the missions which happened before Apollo 11. Apollo 11 was a mission which actually landed on the moon. So if Apollo 11 is 11th Apollo mission, then where are the first 10 of them? So okay, we'll go into a little bit of detail on that.
So this episode we'll be concentrating on the missions preceding the Apollo 11 mission which went to moon.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So all the missions that were before Apollo 11 were kind of testing ground for the final mission, which was supposed to land on the moon, which started from Apollo 1 all the way to Apollo 10. Some of them were unmanned mission. Some of them were manned missions. The first manned mission which was supposed to happen in an Apollo spacecraft was Apollo 1.
Okay.
But sadly, during a ground test, all three astronauts were killed by a fire in their command module. Which was, this flight was supposed to happen in the February of 1967. So there was apparently an electric short circuit which ignited the oxygen-rich atmosphere of command module, and all the three astronauts instantly perished.
Okay, so they died because of the fire or because there was no oxygen?
The reason given in autopsy report is cardiac arrest because of carbon monoxide that spread through the atmosphere of the command module. But anyway, that was a horrific incident, which in turn led to a lot of improvements in the spacecraft for the later missions. So the astronauts who expired were Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee.
Yeah, I think Gus Grissom is the only person I know from that mission.
Yeah, he was a space veteran. He has done missions before Apollo.
He has like a very good name in the field, I think, because everywhere I've read about this, his name was the first which came up. And yeah, if probably he had that incident had not happened, he might have gone to moon, right?
Yeah, there is a good chance of, because he was one of the first astronauts to go in Apollo, there is a good chance that he would have commanded another mission to moon. Because many of the astronauts who have gone in earlier missions, let's say till Apollo 10, they have got a seat in one of the moon landing missions as well.
Okay, okay. Yeah. That's such a tragedy.
It was a big tragedy. So they kept the name Apollo 1 for the mission because the widows of the astronauts wanted it to be labeled as Apollo 1. To honor them, and NASA agreed to it.
Okay, so the naming happened after the incident.
So Apollo programs had a weird naming system. They were called AS with a three digit number. So it's okay, like Apollo, Saturn. So it was named like that. But yeah, Apollo 1 was named Apollo 1 even before the incident. But since it was not a real flight into space, there was probably a possibility of not naming that mission as Apollo 1 and naming the subsequent mission as Apollo 1. So because of the request that came from their wives, they agreed to it.
Okay, I thought like they'd have probably named it first and then went on with the missions.
No, mainly for press and publicity purpose, they have to name the spacecraft beforehand. Okay. So that when things come in the news, right? So for common people, there should be some kind of a reference. So that was a tragedy of Apollo 1. So this kind of put a little bit of a delay in the Apollo program. From 1967, we had to go all the way up to 1969 for the landing, but yeah, subsequent manned mission happened in 1968. So in between the Apollo 7, which was a next manned mission, which actually took off, there were many unmanned missions.
Okay.
So Apollo 2, Apollo 3 were missions to check the launch vehicle, Saturn 1B and Saturn launch vehicles. And Apollo 4 was in fact a mission to test the capabilities of command and service modules.
Okay.
It had a dummy lunar module and it just went to the Earth orbit and it was an unmanned mission. Similarly, Apollo 5 also was a test mission for lunar module. Apollo 6 was a mission to test the capabilities of translunar injection, where from Earth's orbit, you put the spacecraft into a trajectory towards the moon. So that is briefly about all these, unmanned missions. Though these were not highlighted in, space history, but these are few of the few critical missions which actually pave the way to the future flight.
The stepping stones.
Yes.
Towards success, yeah.
All right, so leaving behind the tragedy of Apollo 1, the next manned mission was Apollo 7, which happened in October 11th, 1968. It was an 11-day mission, lasted till October 22nd of 1968. This was a mission with a little bit of controversy and stuff. This was the first mission after the tragedy of Apollo 1, so little bit of... I mean, there were a lot of improvements done in the spacecraft as well. But the major objective of this mission was to check the long duration journey towards the time that it takes to moon and back is almost around a little more than a week. So they wanted to check how astronauts can, spend their time.
Okay. So till then, none of the humans had been in space for such a long period of time. So they wanted to test out how humans will hold on.
They have been, Gemini missions have been up to 2 weeks, but this is a new spacecraft altogether. So they wanted to, the Apollo spacecraft were more spacious. All the other spacecraft, you're just strapped to your seat. This had more space and all that stuff. So the astronauts who traveled in this mission were Wally Schirra, Don Aisley, and Walter Cunningham. So after the mission started, Wally Schirra got a real bad head cold.
Okay.
So from there on, he was a little irritable. The problem in space is that on the Earth, gravity helps you to remove your, the phlegm and everything from your nose, right?
Okay, yeah.
You can clear out your sinus by just sneezing and all that stuff. But in space, it's really difficult to get hold of that because of the
it
zero.
It just clogs in your head and doesn't have any
It just clogs in your head and it's very difficult. You know how it is.
Yeah.
So he became very irritable after first few days of the flight. So this irritation passed on to the fellow astronauts as well. So there were instances where they kind of disobeyed the command from...
Is this the one? Okay, I've read about this. This is pretty funny, right? Yeah, okay.
So what happened was they were supposed to live telecast on television few of the things that were doing in the space, but the commander was not in favor of it. He was really not amused by NASA asking them to live telecast all these stuff, so he refused to do it, but NASA was adamant. So likewise, on various occasions, they just lost their cool because it was a long distance. He was irritated with the waste disposal which took around half an hour to an hour, and it was very crude and it was not clean and smelly and all that. Imagine being locked up in a iron capsule for 11 days with all feces flying around.
Wow, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, so you can't blame him really. But again, another incident was during the re-entry and landing. Because of their cold, they didn't really want to wear their helmets, which was like a fishbowl type without any visors and stuff. So ground station clearly indicated that they had to wear their helmets, but the astronauts refused to do that.
Okay.
So that was another incident. But the result of all this space mutiny that happened was that Wally Schirra was supposed to retire. He retired after this mission. But the other two astronauts never got to fly in space.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I've never heard of these three people.
Yeah.
When it comes to
Schirra was a veteran. He has flown Mercury, Gemini and Apollo spacecraft. But the other two, it was their first flight and their last flight.
No wonder.
Because Mission Control didn't want to deal with astronauts who were not listening to them.
So because of that, Wally Schirra, others lost their future. kind of.
But then human behavior changes when you are, in those confined spaces.
You should
and
give
stuff.
Them some, give them a break. Like seriously, they were there.
And
for like
another
days,
reason
right?
is that, see, though it seems like fun to travel in space and all that stuff, they are really tight on their schedule. There are so many different objectives that a mission has, and you really don't have that much time. So even though we say that, okay, they've gone for 10 days or 11 days, these 10 days and 11 days, each second is accounted for.
It's not a jolly ride. They have.
It's not a jolly ride. Even when you land on moon, the time that you spend on EVAs, extravehicular activities on the moon, every single second is drafted even before going to moon. So they don't have time for even, you know, having fun around. So all these work tension, you know, mounts up, and this is kind of what results in the
work
mutiny
tension.
Actually. So a little bit about this mission. This was not supposed to be a mission towards moon. They just went into an orbit around the Earth and to test their command module. They practiced the mock docking with the S4B, the stage of Saturn launch vehicle. They didn't have a lunar module as such, so they were just practicing docking the launch vehicle as such. So after 11 days in space, they landed back. So again, the mission, this was supposed to be what Apollo 1 had to be.
Okay.
So whatever objectives they Apollo 7 experimented with,
it was supposed to happen,
with Apollo 1.
Oh, so there was a lot of delay because of...
Yeah, around 18 months of delay,
oh
I
my
guess.
God, I'm pretty sure NASA was screaming at John F. Kennedy.
No, he had put a dream. It was their job to fulfill. So there were a lot of factors which went into all this stuff. Anyway, so that is about Apollo 7. Then the next mission was Apollo 8. Apollo 8 was the first mission which actually left the Earth's orbit and moved towards another celestial body, that
orbit.
Is moon.
So it orbited the moon and came back.
Yeah, it is the first spacecraft with human beings that left the orbit of Earth. So the mission started on December 21st, 1968 till December 27th. It was a 6-day mission. So the crew was Frank Borman, Jim Lovell and William Anders.
Oh, Jim Lovell. Pretty sure a lot of people know him.
Yeah, with the Apollo 13 movie. So Jim Lovell was a command module pilot in this one. So the as I said, this was the first mission to go out of Earth's orbit. Basically, they wanted to test the translunar injection, how the spacecraft, you know, behaves when you put it on an orbit around, put it around the moon. And these astronauts were the first people to see the far side of moon with their naked eyes. I mean,
wow.
We just had pictures which were relayed back by, probes which are sent into the moon. But nobody has really seen the far side of the moon. But these astronauts were the first people to see the far side of the moon. So their mission was to go to the moon and, you know, orbit and then come back.
But think about it. They have seen the far side of the moon. But we... think about the other people who have never been to moon. They have never seen the far side of the moon.
Yeah, we have never seen.
Wow.
I don't know if we'll ever see that. So, I don't know whether this is interesting. So, Frank Borman, who was a commander of this mission, basically, they were sleeping in shifts. So, the idea was for someone to be awake all the time so that if something goes wrong, they can, you know, fix it in emergency. So Frank Borman decided to go to sleep first. He couldn't sleep easily because of all the sounds and all the radio chatter that was happening. So he requested for permission to have a sleeping pill. He had the sleeping pill. He slept for some time. When he woke up, he was sick. So he started puking and he got a diarrhea and all that.
God.
And what happened was that within few hours, the whole spacecraft had tiny
globs
of puke and feces flying around.
This is like an Adam Sandler movie.
Imagine sitting in a small room and, you know, all these stuff flying around. So they had to deal with
it. No, actually, this is funny for us, not for them, probably.
Yeah, it was not funny for them, obviously. You don't want your feces and puke flying around, right?
Oh, man.
I bet nobody thinks about all these things when you think about space travel.
No, they are like, okay, it's a prestigious thing. You just go there, you chill on the moon and you just come back. Because we have never heard about it. We live in a generation who doesn't know the things properly, right?
Yeah, so nobody actually thinks about the hardships that these astronauts have gone through to, bring all this mission to a success.
Especially when it comes to puke and feces.
Exactly. So Yeah, that was pretty much Apollo 8. So Apollo 8 was the first mission where human beings got really close to the moon. Subsequently, we had Apollo 9 and 10. Apollo 9 was launched on March the 3rd, 1969. And it came back on March 13th. So this was again a low Earth orbit mission. It never went to the moon. So the astronauts were James McDivitt, David Scott, and Rusty Schenekhardt.
It's okay. It's okay. Just go ahead and
butcher the name.
Yeah. Anyway. You're pundits.
So they spent around 10 days in the orbit. So the major objective was to test the lunar module, LEM. So they had a LEM flown up with their command module, and they did two of the astronauts got into the LEM, and they practiced maneuvering it around in the Earth's orbit. So this was a pre-flight check for the moon mission, where, you know, two of the astronauts get inside the LEM and they land on the moon surface. So they practiced moving the lunar module around 100 kilometers away from the command module, redocking and all the things. So while moving away, they used a descent stage. While coming back, they used the ascent stage engine to power the lunar module, which we discussed in the previous episode.
Without landing, they used both the engines.
Because obviously lunar module is not built to work in the Earth's atmosphere, because it's not aerodynamic and all that. So they did it in the space around 100 kilometers above Earth. So that was a mission objective. Again, it was just a minor mission to just test the capabilities of, I cannot say minor, obviously it played its part. So that's Apollo 9. The final mission before Apollo 11 was Apollo 10. Apollo 10 was a mission which started on May 18th of 1969, lasted till May 26. This was a full dress rehearsal for the final Apollo 11 mission. So the astronauts were Thomas Trafford, John Young, and Gene Cernan.
Never heard.
This is the thing, right? I mean, you have heard of Neil Armstrong and Aldrin. You've never heard of these veteran space travelers, because these people have not stopped with Apollo.
They were there even after the Apollo mission.
Exactly. And Gene Cernan was the last man on the moon. He was a commander of Apollo 18.
Okay, that also I don't know. I'll tell you how many people I know. I know the first three, then the Apollo 13, those three, and I know Alan Shepard.
Apollo 13 only because you have seen the movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. Even though I've read a lot about these things, I don't know these people. So,
do you know Alan Shepard has gone to moon?
Yeah, is it the fly like the mission where there was a lot of radiation and all that? Is it that one? Is it a different one?
Apollo 14 is all I know.
Yeah, I think it was Apollo 14 which met with a lot of radiation. Yes. I'm not sure about it. But the thing is, yeah, we don't know most of these people.
Correct. So that's why we are doing this episode. Yeah. So that most of us get to know the other astronauts who have done this incredible work to ensure that, you know, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin could go to the moon and land their spacecraft and come back.
Yes, we should probably link all the name of the people in
the show. Yes, we should. They deserve their own recognition.
Put the Wikipedia page link.
So as I mentioned, this was a dress rehearsal. So they had the entire aircraft flying towards moon, going to an orbit around the moon. They two astronauts even got into the LEM. Trafford and Cernan.
Okay.
And the LEM separated from the command module, and it went down to the moon surface 15 kilometers above the moon surface.
Wow.
So that was a complete dress rehearsal. So 15 kilometers is where the actual powered descent of a lunar flight starts. So after 15, once this lunar module reaches around 15 kilometer high, the descent engine fires and slowly the craft is pulled down. Yeah. So they went to that altitude to ensure that, you know, the lunar module is capable of actually landing on the moon.
So they were actually, they probably would have had the propellant to like land on the moon and all that. That's what I was thinking.
It's good that you asked that. You know what? You're not sure, right? Maybe what if they feel like landing and then becoming the first astronauts to touch down on moon? You know what NASA did?
Exactly, yeah.
NASA didn't fill up the fuel tank completely.
Oh, man.
So normally there'll be around 15,000 kilograms of fuel. I think it's 50,000 kilograms. Not sure about that. But then
they had filled it up only with 13,000 kilograms of the fuel. That is the exact amount of fuel that is required to take your LEM from a height of 15 kilometers back to the command module.
Oh my God.
So in case they had decided to land, they can never come back. So that was the insurance policy that NASA had. So, that question had always lingered in my mind, but this is the answer to it. So even if they wanted to, they had to either sacrifice themselves or they just had to come.
You know, if I were there in that mission, I was one like part of that mission, I would have probably landed.
But then you can't come back.
Yeah, what is the point? Like, you have made a name for yourself in the history of mankind, right?
I would rather be alive.
But still, I don't know.
No.
It depends on the situation.
See, achievement is fun when you are there to celebrate it later.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? If you're dead, then there's no
point. Oh, but you can't kill yourself or something there, right? Yeah. You will die a painful death. So, yeah, no.
Probably so, these missions have few special records assigned to them. Even this mission is even in the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest speed achieved by any manned object in space, in space or anywhere before that matter. It was 39,897 kilometers per hour.
It was a lunar module. I mean,
no, entire lunar spacecraft on the way back.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Command module and service modules, which is around, 26,791 miles per hour, 11 kilometers per second.
Wow.
And also it has another record of being the furthest ever from Earth, at around 489,053. That is 408,956 kilometers from the Earth. So it so happened that when the spacecraft was on the far side of the moon, Houston was on the other side of the completely rotated towards the far side of Earth.
There was no communication.
Yeah. So this is the furthest distance ever achieved by any space, manned spacecraft ever.
But one more thing, if they had let the spacecraft land, right, they would have saved a lot of money and all that.
So that was not the intention, right? This is just a rehearsal. So the main objective was to survey the Sea of Tranquility and ensure that, you know, it was a proper landing site. And again, while coming back from their lunar orbit at 15 kilometers, the ascent stage was fired and the descent stage was disengaged. But because of a pilot error, they had mistakenly timed in the command twice. The spacecraft started spinning out of control rolled over 8 times before it regained its stability. And it is said that had it rolled over maybe a couple of times more,
they would have
thing would have crashed onto moon surface.
My God.
So that was a dangerous thing that happened on the way back. And this was again the same mission where there was this claim of space music.
Okay.
Wherein both the lunar module astronauts and the command module astronaut was able to hear some whistling kind of sound coming from the far side of the moon.
Serious? I've never heard of
that. Yeah, this was relayed back to Earth at that time, and there was some, conspiracy theory
aliens.
Saying that it's aliens and all that stuff. They said that these are aliens watching what human beings are doing and all that. But then the astronauts came back safely and nothing really happened.
We are just waiting to pounce on these kind of, controversies. It's just conspiracy theories are something we can't live without. It seems.
Exactly. That's built into the whole fabric of society at this point. So these were the different Apollo missions which happened before Apollo 11 landed on the moon, which are less known but equally critical to the Apollo program.
Yeah, the people involved in the spacecraft, everything, they all do deserve equal share of recognition because of what they did.
Yeah, and very much less talked are the people who sit in the mission control.
Exactly.
So they work as hard as the astronauts to ensure that they come back to Earth safely.
Applause for them.
Applause for them and the astronauts who are not as famous as the astronauts who landed on the moon.